I told y'all, get ready, didn't I? That was outstanding. All right. All who are wanting to go to children's church this morning, children ages 4 to 6 can meet Miss Tracy in the back, and she will take them over for children's church. The rest of you, open your Bibles back up to Hebrews, Hebrews 11 and 12. Woo, she's going to have fun. They were wound up pretty tight this morning for Sunday school. Y'all must be feeding those kids sugar for breakfast or something. Donuts every Sunday morning. All right. In Hebrews chapter 12, I read the verses earlier. You know, today is the day that the last two teams standing are going to play for the title, aren't they? We call it the Super Bowl. How many people believe Atlanta's going to win? Well, the whole section of Hagers over there, Atlanta. How about the Patriots? How many Patriot fans are there? Oh, we got a few. Patriots don't have many fans. How many don't care? You know, you are really, in the United States, a minority. Because almost everybody cares because they call it the Super Bowl. In 2015, over 114 million people watched. And probably some of you who said you don't care are going to be there today watching. Super Bowl parties, those kind of things. Our adult one class having a Super Bowl party. In 2014, a 30-second commercial. Here's how you know they care. 2014, a 30-second commercial went for $4 million. This year, $5 million to get you 30 seconds to make people believe whatever you want to sell them or whatever. People are wanting to see who the last one standing will be. They want to see a winner. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3, the author speaks to us about that great cloud of witnesses that surround us. Who is that great cloud of witnesses? That's those people who have gone on in front of us. Who, if you look back over in chapter 11, it's just through that list of people of faith, the roll call of the faithful that he's talking about. Those who have lived the life of faith and been found to be victorious. And they have set by their lives an example for you and I to follow for how to live for Jesus in faith. The verse encourages us now in chapter 12 to run the race that is set before us. The race is what the scriptures compare to our Christian life, this life of faith. It reminds me, you know, when I think of a race, reminds me of a story. I may have told you this before, but it was of two gas company men. One was a senior training supervisor. Been around a long time, but he was out training a young trainee, and they had parked their truck. They were working an alleyway, and they had parked their truck at the end of the alley, and they made their way down on both sides of the street to check all the meters. When they got to the last meter, the senior supervisor looked at the young trainee, and he felt like he was still in pretty good shape, like he still had it. He said, "I'll race you back to the truck." So the little trainee said, "Okay, I'll race you." On your marks, set, and they tear off down the road. When they get to the truck, they're huffing and puffing, and they look back, and behind them is a middle-aged lady running full speed. When she gets to them, they go, "Hey, is everything okay?" And she's, "Yeah, I'm okay." And they said, "Well, why are you running like that?" So we saw two gas company men checking, and all of a sudden they tear out running. She thought, "I better run too." You know, she was running like her life depended on it. You know, when I read these verses in Hebrews chapter 12, after reading Hebrews chapter 11, I think the writer is telling us the very same thing. Live the life of faith like your life and those around you depend on it. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. We're here to make a difference. We're here to leave a mark. And that mark is evidenced by those who will follow us. I'll talk a little more about that and again, but the word race is the Greek word agon, which means, if it comes to the English word agonize, it's like a marathon. The marathon is a series of ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And most marathon runners will tell you this. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And I think the life of faith is very similar in that. It's ups and downs. I don't know anybody that their life of faith is always on going up. I've been pastoring a long time now, and as I look you in the eye, there's been some struggles that we've all been through. Life is a struggle. But we persevere. And that's what the writer here is talking about. You know, it talks about winning faith. He gave an extended look at those people in chapter 11 who finished the race. Not just those who started it, but those who finished it. Those who have been found faithful. They fought the good fight and they won. What does winning faith look like? What does that life of faith that leaves you standing at the end look like? First of all, this morning I want to talk about that. There's four things. First of all, winning faith begins with a belief. Everyone you see mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 had a belief, had a trust. If you read the first two words, look at verses 20 through 31 in chapter 11. Here's what you'll find in common. These two words, by faith. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Rahab. And all these lives, what set them apart was those two words. They lived by faith. You know, and faith is hard for some people because it's not something that you can see or sometimes even understand. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But yet it is essential. Because Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace through faith are you saved. It's a belief. There's no salvation, there's no hope, there's no peace with God, there's no future. Apart from this word, faith. And you know, sometimes people can put their faith in the wrong things. I remember one time I was working around the house and there was an old ladder. And I thought, well, it's kind of rickety, but it'll work. So I'm up there trying to clean out the gutters where the leaves fall into them. And let me tell you, I had to jump off that ladder. And that was a few years ago. It could get ugly now. You know, if I had to jump off a ladder. There are some things that won't hold you. Some things not strong enough. And here's one of those things. People who put their faith in their own abilities. People who put their faith and trust in their own wisdom or knowledge. Sometimes, you know, we put faith in ourselves. That won't hold. It'll let us down. You remember in Acts chapter 16, there's a story. Paul is in jail, Philippian jail. Earthquake hits, and the doors are opened. And all the prisoners are set free. And the jailer is like, oh, man, I'm done for. So he's fixing to kill himself. And Paul tells him, no, don't do it. And he talks to him for a minute. And the jailer cried out these words, what must I do to be saved? Remember what the answer was? Remember the answer? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, that's your hope. That's what will hold you. We need to be reminded of that today. The life of faith, the winning life of faith starts with a belief in Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can't win until you acknowledge Jesus. Life's too hard. You don't have the power or the ability to stand in opposition to God. And if you don't live by faith, you stand in opposition to God. The Bible says we're born with a sin nature. That means from the time we are little, you don't have to teach a child to sin. They will grow up and they will be selfish all on their own. You have to teach them to be generous because we have a sinful nature. The root of every sin is found in our hearts. What we need is help with our hearts. And the only help that lasts for eternity for our hearts is believing in the Lord Jesus. We consider him, as the scripture says here. John 3:18 says, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let me tell you, one day we stand before the Lord and we give an account of our lives. It won't matter. It won't matter what we have done. What will matter is what he has done. That's why all of our hope has to be in him, because he was the only one who could live a sinless life to die the sacrifice for our sin. Winning faith begins with a belief in the Son of God. Secondly, I want you to understand this. Believing is not an intellectual act. If you polled America today, 80% of people say, "Oh yeah, I believe." But belief is a commitment of the will. James is my favorite book when I was first a Christian. If you know people who are young in the faith and you want them to read, there's Ephesians is great, but James caught my attention. Because James is a real practical book. James is a show me guy. I think he must have been from Missouri. Any of you from Missouri in here? We don't have a single Missouri person in this church, huh? Maybe that's why we're so smart. No, I don't. I met a guy yesterday from Missouri. But James was a Missouri guy. He had to see it. He showed me. James chapter 2, verse 19. It talks about even the demons believe and tremble. James says, hey, there's more to it than just an intellectual knowledge. Belief takes the next step, goes to belonging. And he says in chapter 1, but prove yourselves doers of the word, not hearers only. James says, listen, if you believe, you got to live it. And then he goes on in chapter 2 to say, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I'll show you my faith by my works. And then he says, belief by itself is dead, useless. He says, faith without works is dead, didn't he? It's useless to you and it's useless to anybody around you. So that belief that we have in our heart has to show up in our life by the way we live. If it doesn't, something's wrong. How does it show up? It shows up, I like to put it this way, it shows up by one, how we live, but who we live with. Because you remember when Jesus was talking before he'd sit down and he asked people, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say Elijah, some say that. And then Peter says, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. And do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? Jesus said, Peter, you're right. And upon this rock, I will build my church. What's the rock? The rock is that belief in who I am. And upon that belief in who Jesus is the church. That's you and I. That's all believers. Jesus was saying, we need each other. The belief that we have about who he is drives us to one another so that we can serve him and his kingdom through this thing that he created called the church that he has gifted to serve him. Brother Craig and Christy's last day is today. Kermit wasn't up here today. Had surgery Friday. He's doing well. Does that mean next Sunday we're not going to have any music? Here's what it means. It means God has gifted others that will now have to step forward and use what he's given them. That's part of being part of the body. For our faith to grow, we've got to put it to work. God's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you abilities. And everything he gave you to serve him. And if we're not serving him, we're wrong. We don't all have to serve the same way. Let me tell you, today, when you watch the Super Bowl, if you see an offensive lineman go out for a pass, look for that guy that's wearing the striped shirt to throw a flag up in the air. He can't do that. That's not his job. But what he does is he makes sure those guys going out for passes have time to get open, and that that guy throwing the ball has time to get it to him. You see, everybody's got a job, and when everybody does their job, it works well together. In the church, everybody's been gifted by God to do something, and it makes it harder when those who won't use their gifts don't serve. If you want your faith to flourish, take what God has given you and use it for His glory. Belief, belonging. Thirdly, for us to experience winning faith, our faith needs to be multiplied. And what do I mean by that? The goal of faith is not for us to get all we can. Jesus had all he could have when he came to earth. But he came so that others could have. When our faith is multiplied, it's about those who come behind us. You remember the last command he gave before he ascended into heaven? We call it the Great Commission. And he said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me tell you the two words. We always end up, we think that go is the emphasis of that verse. It's not. The emphasis in the Greek of that verse is make disciples. What is a disciple? A learner, a follower. Let me tell you something. When you become a parent, we're not all evangelists, but when you become a parent, you become an evangelist. Your number one job, when you raise your kids, is to teach them to follow Jesus, to make disciples. When you go and start a new job, it's like a new mission field. You're there to do a good job at work, but from a spiritual perspective, your number one thing is you are there so that others around you might know Christ. But you are making disciples. And disciples is more than just knowing. It's living in such a way that you walk, that others can walk and follow and learn themselves. Everywhere you go, you're to influence others to love Jesus. And why? Because you love Jesus. You know, you see in this passage in Hebrews, consider him who has endured such hostilities. When life is hard, verse 2 says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Consider Jesus. You know, winning faith considers Jesus. And everywhere you go, and in the way that you live, by the way that you live, others see you and they consider Jesus. Winning faith starts with a belief. Winning faith belongs. Winning faith multiplies. And finally, winning faith is faith that endures to the end. I talked about the race being a marathon. Life's got a lot of peaks and valleys. You know, some of you, Reese, you've been through a valley lately, hadn't you? George, you've been through a valley lately. You're talking about it being up and down. You know what? When your health is bad, it gets harder. Sometimes when the bills get high, it gets harder. Faith's not always downhill, and it wasn't for Jesus either. Let me tell you something. Faith is a commitment that lasts a lifetime. I don't care who's winning tonight at halftime, they're not awarding the trophy at halftime. They're not coming up and saying, oh man, great first half, you win. You got to finish the fight. You got to finish the race. Same's true spiritually. There may be times when it seems like that it's going well, you still got to finish. Maybe times when it's going poorly in your life, you still got to finish. In verse 3, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, remember what Jesus did and do the same. It would have been easy for Jesus to say, that's enough. When those people that he loved, that he came to earth so that they might have the hope of eternity, spit in his face. When others that he loved took out a whip and that cat of nine tails and drew skin from his back, and others that nailed him to a cross so that every breath he would take would be painful, eventually where his heart would explode, trying to breathe. But he endured. Consider Jesus when life is hard. Chapter 11, you're told of those who had the struggle. You want to know what some of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, really. I love the end of chapter 11. Flip back just one page and look what it says, starting about in verse 37. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through faith, now I want you to get these words, did not receive what was promised. They didn't see it in this life. They fought through all of that stuff, and they didn't see it in this life. But because, look at verse 40, because God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Let me tell you, when the struggle is real in your life, God will give you what you need to get through it. But understand this, as you are faithful to him, God will give you far more than you ever imagined. Whatever this life takes from you because of your faith, God will bless you in eternity with something that nothing in this life, you'll look back and say it was worth it. It was worth it. Nobody in heaven is looking back today going, man, I don't know how I ever made it through that. They're looking back saying, thank you, Jesus. Winning faith is faith that endures to the end. Winning faith starts with a belief. This morning, if you're here and you've never made a public profession of faith, you don't know where you would spend eternity. Put your trust in Jesus. He is your only hope. Not a man here can help you. No preacher on earth can help you. Only Jesus can help you, and it's Jesus that you need today if you don't have a relationship with him. In a minute, we'll have a hymn of invitation, give you the opportunity to do just a couple of things. Number one, confess that you're a sinner. Truth is, we all are. Second part of that is repent of that sin. It means that you're sorry for it and you want to turn and go a new direction and begin by asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you've done those things, you know, remember this, it's not all downhill. If you're struggling today, maybe you need to come to this altar and pray about some things. Maybe you need to have others pray with you. That's a great blessing to have others praying with you through your struggles. If you're here today and you're not a part of this church, but you feel like God would have you to belong here, this is where he's called you to use your gifts, talents, and abilities to serve him, then I encourage you to do that today as well, because it's not just about what I know, it's about what I do. Faith needs to work, and it needs to use the gifts that God's given it to do just that, and we do far more together than we would ever do separately. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your word, the word that encourages us to live by faith and to endure to the end and to to trust you in every situation that we encounter in life, through the good, through the bad, through whatever comes our way. Lord, that you stand with us. Help us to consider you right now during this invitation time. Lord, what would you have us to do to be closer to you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.